and verse 12. Our Father and our God, we thank you, Lord, again for this privilege, this opportunity, and this honor of preaching, teaching, and hearing your word. Thank you, Father, for the truth. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We've been preaching on this thing now since the mountain times. Now, I'm hoping to get through the end of the dividing of the word love and get to the portion of waxing cold. I don't know if it's going to work out that way or not. If not, we'll finish it up on Sunday. But if you remember, the Bible is talking about the love of God for us, the love of God for that comes through us and to other people. And we talked about that connection that is broken, because if you remember, I proved to you from the Bible that God's love and electricity are exactly the same. And when love waxes cold, it means there has to be a short in the current. Remember, the analogy of electricity was electric current. Not electric future, not electric past, but electric current. And every time that I talk with a Christian and he or she is having difficulties, it's because they're thinking and talking about something that's already happened, and they're worried about something else that's going to happen because of what's already happened, and there is nothing current about their concern. And since it is not current, then it is not power, it is not electric. And because it is not that, then the individual who goes off into the future based on the past becomes a little short this month. In other words, you cut off the power of the living God. So it is my intention and my prayer that I will get through the love tonight, and that we'll start on iniquity waxing cold. And by the way, based on the possibility of that, the Holy Spirit guides me. In case I reach the dreaded subject, the vapors. Should that become the condition and the situation, knowing that wisdom is the better part of valor, I have done whatever I can with the meager means available to me to protect myself from the possibility of the invasion of the deadly vapors. So if one of you chooses to wax cold, the Holy Spirit of God has protected me adequately. I don't know what to tell you. It is my intention to wax eloquent. It is my hope that none of you will choose to wax cold. But if you do, bear in mind, I am protected. I've got every drop out of that I could. I couldn't milk anymore. I got the curds and the whey. I got the milk and the cheese. I got every drop out of that one. Okay, now we're going to talk about Jesus. In other words, if for Jesus to be a power, if you want to succeed, you better get in the present time. You better get with the program. Now, to understand what that means, you need to turn to John 8:58. Those of you that weren't situated in the right place last week have no idea what I was talking about up front. Check with those that were really laughing a lot. They know. John 8:58. I want you to understand how simple it is to be close to Jesus and to have Jesus close to you, and have it be something more than just a figure of speech, which it's been most of our Christians' lives, if not all of it. John 8:58, Jesus speaks and says, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now here, grammatically, from a grammar point of view, that sentence is not written correctly. Because Jesus is speaking past tense about Abraham. So to correctly, grammatically state that, he should have said, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I was. But you see, that would put Jesus, even by his own definition, even for that period of time, in a was position, past tense position. And the truth does you no good in the past. I don't care what happened yesterday, last week, or 10 seconds ago. It's not going to help you right now. Especially when you take what happened in the past, projected past the present into the future. Now you're trying to deal with something that hasn't happened yet, based on something that already did happen, which you can't control either one, and you're not dealing with what is happening. So you see, you become a bigger culprit than the individual who you're trying to crucify. You must remain in the present tense, or the love of God does not work. Now, the word am, or I am, means just that, present tense. It means to be right now. It means that's it's existing or happening now. So whatever you learn about Jesus, the minute you put your mind on some future worry, you've lost it, because he's the I am, not the I will be. The minute you take the truth that you learn here and start thinking about past mistakes that you've made, or things that have happened in the past where people offended you, you are now using the power of God, which is present, and you're trying to put it into the past, and it does not work. You are never going to repair the past. It's gone. And you're never going to affect the future unless you start doing something about right now. If you understand what I'm saying, the only thing that affects the future is what you're doing now. Jesus said, take no thought for the morrow. Don't think about tomorrow or yesterday. He said, I'm not going to do any good at all. So the power of God, Jesus, is the I am. He's right now. Am or I am means that exists or happens right now. Whatever's in progress, whatever's being discussed, whatever's being considered, written or heard at the present time. In other words, Jesus is everywhere in the present. Well, to understand what that means Jesus, the truth, is omnipresent. Now, you've heard those expressions. They're so spiritual. God is omnipresent, he's omnipotent, and he's omniscient. And none of you have a clue what that means. And none of you know even how to express it or how to apply it. And my guess would be that 99.9% of Christians, including pastors, don't know either. Not because it's not hard or because it's hard. No one's ever asked. Well, let me tell you what omnipresent means. And if you're going to succeed, that's the only way you're going to succeed, because Jesus is the only one that can make you succeed, and he's in the present. He's omnipresent. Now, omni, or it comes from the word omnis, and it means all. The last part of omnipresence, presens, means present. So the word omnipresent means all present, or present everywhere. Now, do you know why the truth does not work in your life? Because all of you are not all present here. You're all here, but you're not all present. You're messing around with this. You're jacking around with that. You're thinking about this. You got your mind here and there, so you are not all present. See, you're scratching. You're doing things. Your mind is wandering. See, all of you is not here. Now, all of you is here, but all of you is not here. So you are not all here. And you see, that's where that expression came from. It's a form of insanity. You look at that and say, that dude's not all here. He hasn't got it together. See, the problem with people that do not have it together is they have their body here, and their mind, their soul, is lamenting about the past, and their spirit is wishing about the future. They have not got it together. Now, when I counsel such individuals, again, they try to affect the future by lamenting about the past and never dealing with the present. So as a result, they're everywhere but where the omnipresent Jesus is. He is omnipresent, which means he's all present. Jesus is all here. Now let me tell you what that means. That means if I'm going to express the love of Jesus Christ to you, when you sit down and talk to me, I have to put all my attention on you, and you know that I do. I listen to every word that you say. When I hear a comma where it doesn't belong, when I hear something that isn't right, I'll bring it to your attention immediately. Why? Because I'm all present. You see, I've got my eyes on you, I've got my ears on you, I've got my mind on you, I've got my heart on you. In other words, I am your audience. You see, one day you're going to stand in audience before Jesus, and you're not going to know how to give him attention. You're not going to know how to be all present. You see, if you are made in the image and likeness of God, and God is omnipresent, in order for you to remain in the image and likeness of God, you must be omnipresent also. See, omnipresent doesn't just mean being everywhere at once. That capability belongs exclusively to God Almighty, Jesus Christ. But you see, I can be all present, I can be omnipresent, because omnis means all, and presence, the last part of the word, means present. So if my full attention is focused on what I'm doing, I'm all present. I'm omnipresent then. I have the love of God flowing through me. Now, a week and a half ago, I started, God provided me an opportunity, and I thought to myself, what am I going to do? I'm going to come back from that job like this, you know? There's sharp things there. There's things with knives and wheels that go bump in the night and whir with teeth and diamonds in them, and they just look like they're just loving to cut you up. And I said, my God in heaven, Lord, what have I done to deserve this? And I said, well, I better pay attention here. So I start being omnipresent. I watched my tutor. I watched Mr. who I've christened Zippity-Doo-Dah. See, he just looks at something and he takes out the knife, zip, zip, zippity, doo, da. Just like Zorro, zip, 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 and then he goes and puts it in there. It fits. So I say, I can do that. Maybe not this century, but I can do that. Lo and behold, today, I did that. Now, I'll be the first to admit, it wasn't zippity-doo-dah. It was zip, zip, zippity-doo, zip, 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 zippity-dip, zip, zip, zip. I had shaving. See, the man does what he does is he cuts three cuts and it's done. And I just start shaving the thing, you know, Gillette style. And put it in there, not, and shave a little bit more. I put a whole lot of zippities on there and more doodahs than it needs. But ask the man, it fit, it worked. I'll admit I'm overpopulated with zippities and doodahs, but hey, one thing at a time. The thing that I learned is that if I'm all present, there's nothing I can't do. I can do all things in Christ Jesus which strengtheneth me. Now, it may take a long, long time to be down to the number of zippities and doodahs, but that's not the point, you know, see, we're not in a speed race. I know I can do that. But more importantly, see, that's not the issue. The issue is I learned how to do anything. Now, my God does not put me in a situation and then embarrass me by not giving me the ability to do it. So, you see, in order for me to be omnipotent, to have the power to do it, I must be omnipresent. I got to be all present. I got to put my mind on what I'm doing. Now understand what I'm talking about. You have a habit, you want to get rid of it. And you decide, yes, I'm going to quit. When? Next week. Right away, you're not all present. And your decision based on next week is based on last week when you tried it and it didn't work more than 3 days. And all God asked you is, can you stop right now? Can you not do that right now, this second? Now, I know it's only a second. I know there's a lot of zippities to come. I understand that. But you see, God didn't ask me to stop forever. He said, can you do that right now? And if you think about it, the answer is, of course I can right now. Rube, how simple can that be? You mean all I have to do is stop for 1 second, this second that I'm in? That's it. That's it. Well, what's going to happen in the next second then? All you got to do is stop in 1 second. So you see, if you break it down, just the current, just where you're at, see where the mind goes wrong is you start filtering off and say, 1 second, but yeah, but what about after 30 seconds? Well, what about after a minute? At the end of the day, you know by next week who you're trying to kid. Now your mind is floating into the future where Jesus isn't. And then out there you find yourself with your enemy who got you into that mess in the first place. So what did he do? He succeeded in making you not be all present. All of you isn't here. You're worried about what you're going to do. Based on your failures in the past, you're projecting a failure into the future. So you're not all there. Part of you's there and part of you's over there, but you're not all here. So because you're not omnipresent, you cannot be omnipotent. You see, in order for this body that God has given me to function, all of the faculties that he's given me have to be focused on the same thing at the same time. The very first thing children are taught is to stay in the lines. See, what they're trying to develop is hand-eye coordination. They're trying to get them to focus the faculties, to bring the mind on the task, to bring the hands on the task, to bring the eyes on the task, to put the ears on the instructions, and it all focuses on exactly what has to be done. And that's the only way you work, friend. Can you think of anything simpler than coloring a color book? And you wouldn't be able to do it today if you hadn't learned how to focus and put everything, all your faculties, focused on the task at hand, or you'd still be outside the lines. The problem with people, you're so dumb. The problem with people is we forget the basic fundamental things that we learned as tiny children, and the more you grow, the older you get, the more prideful you become, the more you think you know everything, which really is an example that you know nothing. So now this simple task of coloring that took this exercise of focusing, of becoming omnipresent, so that you could become omnipotent as far as coloring that book, that focusing of all these faculties, bringing everything together on the task at hand, being current on such a simple task, you've forgotten. Now you're an adult. Now you have infinitely more complex tasks. Raising children, marital relationships, your spiritual life with the Lord Jesus Christ, all the things that you have to do to earn a living, the interpersonal relationships that you have with Christians and non-Christians and heathens and pagans and pigs and whatever else is out there. And you forget the basic fundamentals. You think you can handle those complex tasks because now you've become so infinitely wise that you no longer have to focus your eyes, your ears, your mind. None of that has to be focused all at once. Why, you can do it now while you're worrying about the past, projecting into the future, blaming everybody else and paying little or no attention to what you're doing. And then what amazes me is you're surprised when you fail. Well, I'm not surprised. if God Almighty has to be omnipresent, to be omnipotent, based on him being omniscient, then what makes you think you, what makes us think as human beings that we can put less into this than God himself, our creator? Now understand something. I'm not saying I'm God and I'm not saying you're God. I'm saying we're made in his image and likeness. I'm saying he is my example. I'm saying I want to work like he works because he created me in his image and his likeness, and that's the best way. Now God is perfect because he's omnipresent, he's omnipotent, and he's omniscient. Now let me tell you, notice I didn't put omniscient first. The Holy Spirit of God led me to put omniscient last. You know last. Let me tell you why. First, you got to get it all here. You got to focus first. Then once you focus all your mental faculties, then you become omnipotent, then you put all your physical strength to it. You start doing it, and then you start understanding. Then you become omniscient. Now, it is no accident that Jesus describes himself this way. It is no accident that God refers to himself as omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. First he thinks, then he does, and then it's understood. Now, when a teacher is teaching you, the first thing they do is think, and then they do the problem, they show you how, and then you understand. But you come to church, and you try to reverse the process. You try to understand first, and then have the strength, and then pay attention. All backwards. Totally, and you see, here's the thing about it. There's not a thing in the world wrong with anybody in this room. Now, you and I both know that our children enjoy the highest scholastic achievement in schools that is possible. For one simple reason, they are taught to sit in church and pay attention. Well, do they understand this? Are they omniscient? They're all here. You see them, they start acting up, they're outside. The minute they're quieted out, back in here. And as that develops, as that trend develops, they stay in here longer, and then they go out. And then they come back, and it's a little longer, and then they go out. And sooner or later, lo and behold, they're sitting through the whole thing. Now watch their level. Watch their attention span is growing now. Now watch them start learning, absorbing more at school. There was nothing wrong with them in the first place. The problem was they try to learn like you taught them to learn. You're not all here, my friend. You don't have it together. And you see, then you will come and you will degrade yourself, and you will think less of yourself, and you'll think someone sitting next to you is an intellectual superior, and they're not. God is no respecter of persons. There's no one in this room that's incapable of doing anything that God has given him to do. None of us. And a whole lot of things you may think you can't do if you learn to be omnipresent. Now, there's a lot of times when I was working, I could have just, I didn't know what was, but I watched. I didn't even understand. I didn't know what was going on. But I thought, well, I'm going to put my eyes on it. And then pretty soon he started telling me some things about it. I got my ears on it now. And then little by little he says, well, would you go ahead and do that? And I'll watch out of the corner of my eye. And he's working, but I see him. He's checking. I want to see if I'm going to blow up the place or something. I don't know. I don't blame the man. I mean, I've said more than once, you know, these hands were not made for that kind of stuff. But little by little, the more omnipresent I became, the more omnipotent I became, the more omniscient I became, the more I understood about it. Now, bless his heart, he can sit in the other part of the room while he's working and say, go ahead and do that, and then come back later on, somewhat suffering from a little trepidation, I'm afraid, but then heaving a sigh of relief when he sees, well, yeah, it doesn't look like a Z of Zorro, it's straight. And I understand that. I understand exactly how that works. But you see, I'm learning more in these last 2 weeks about this message, and I didn't know that I was going to preach this message. But you see, the blessings that I'm getting in terms of finances, that's of secondary importance. You cannot believe what I am learning sitting there all day long on my knees doing things. I could have given you any amount of money that you wanted that I, first of all, I would have never done it. Secondly, and more importantly, who in their right mind would have ever allowed me to? And then, maybe if I paid them enough. But someone's going to pay me to do that? Yes. And very well, thank you. So you see, being omnipresent is the first part of you fulfilling the promise that God gave you. He's no respecter of persons. When Jesus Christ came on this earth, he wasn't everywhere at once physically, but everything that he did was focused. He was all present. He was omnipotent, or he was omnipresent even when he was in physical form. You could not sidetrack the man. You could not get him off into the future or the past. You could not get him off the subject. They tried. They tried to entangle him in his talk. They made accusations. They did everything. He stayed right with the subject. He stayed right in the present. They could not sidetrack him. And he was in the flesh just like you and I. Proving that you could be omnipresent, you could be all present even as a physical human being. You could focus your mind, you could focus your thoughts, you could focus your faculties, you could focus your spirit, you could focus your intellect, you could focus all of you into the task right in front of you. And lo and behold, there's nothing on this God's earth that you can't do when you do that. You see, everything that's ever been invented was invented by some dummy that didn't know what he was doing other than he wanted to get something done, and he tried and tried and tried and stayed with it in experiment after experiment, and finally he accomplished it. Now that's being all present. Focus. I'm going to invent an electric light bulb. I don't care what it takes, how many years it takes, how many different elements I'm going to use for filaments. He experimented with every kind of material there was, and finally, through a process of elimination, he came up with the right filament, but it had to be in a vacuum so that there'd be no oxygen to consume and no heat to burn up the filament. Now, it took a long time for him to come to that, but the man was focused. He was omnipresent. That's inspiration from God. You act like God, and you use the faculties that God gave you, and there's nothing you can't do. Nothing. And I've learned this with this precious book. When I sit down with this book, I've got my Bible, I've got my dictionary, and I've got my concordance, and ain't nothing but the telephone is going to interrupt. And you better make it short, and you better get to the point, because I got business to take care of. And you know that yourself. Once you start rambling, I say to you, you're boring me now. See, because we're not getting anywhere anymore. You see, once you have this ability, you learn to focus and use this ability to be omnipresent, you will only be interested. The only thing that will keep your interest are things that are happening right now. But the minute people start rambling about the past and the future, my mind just starts saying, I've got no time for this. You are boring me now. You're dealing with things that we can't do anything about. And you see what that is it helps the other individual to get back on the track and get with the current things that we can do something about. So without being omnipresent, you are never going to be omnipotent. Now Jesus Christ said all power had been given to him, and then he turned around to the disciples, you and I, not only the 12 but the 70 afterwards, and he said, I give you power and dominion over Satan and all the powers of darkness. Same word power that he received, he gave to us. But how did he begin? By being omnipresent. Omnipresent means present in all places at the same time. Well, what is that same time? Well, there is no time but right now. That's the only time there is. You need to understand the concept of time. It is a misnomer to apply the word time to things that are gone, because that time is past. So it can't be time if it's not time. See, that's impossible. Now, if they're things future, then it can't be time if that time isn't here yet. So the only time there is right now. Now, when someone, I say, do you think you could help me with this? And it's later on, well, I'm not going to have any time. Well, how do you know? See, I'm not asking you. See, I'm not asking you. I'm saying, can you do that? And then when the time comes, I'll ask you. But you see, people don't understand this concept of time, how much you waste, and yet you go to work, and what do they pay you for? Time. They pay you for your time. Now, try going and send in your pay voucher next week based on the work that you did 2 weeks ago. Hey, that's time, but it's past time. In fact, what they tell you is they turn in your time. But if it's past time, time that you've already been paid for, you're not going to get it. And try sending in a voucher for next week. That doesn't work either. They pay you for the actual money, the time that you expended, and the actual time you were on the job. It amazes me that Christians understand that if you have a five-day job and you get paid 5 days, and you go to work 5 days, you're going to get paid for 5 days. And you understand that if you only go to work 4 days, you're only going to get paid for 4 days. And then we take that concept with the Lord Jesus Christ and we flip it every way but loose. Sunday is a work day for us. It's a day you come that Jesus pays you for doing service. Sunday and Wednesday, 4 services, 3 on Sunday and 1 on Wednesday, and your spiritual work week is done. Now, how in the world are you going to get a full paycheck if you've only got 3 services in, or 2, or 1, or none? Well, you're going to get paid according to your time. See, God doesn't pay you according to how good you are, just the fact that you're here. But you see, are you all here? Are you all here? So the first thing you have to learn is to be omnipresent. The world will not reward you any other way. You cannot send your work boots into work and say, hey, I'm with you in spirit, bro. No, you better put your buns in. You better put them stinky size 14s into the boots and get there, or you're not going to get paid. It's the business of being there partly. You know, you can't send your gloves and your boots and say, oh, well, part of you is there, so we'll pay you part. You're all here, or you're not going to get paid. And some of you collect from the Lord Jesus Christ the rewards that you have coming based exactly, in fact, not some of us, all of us, exactly on the time that you put in. Now, you find something else. You find someplace else to go, something else to do when you should be doing your spiritual work right here. And when payday comes, go ask whoever you were working for during the Sunday services and the Wednesday services. Ain't no sense asking for God's blessing because you didn't do your work. You don't understand this concept. And it's such an easy job. 4 hours a week. And what does that give you? First of all, fringe benefits unlike anything in the world. Hospitalization? Yes. Guaranteed, we don't need no hospitals. Amen. Guaranteed doctor's benefits? Guaranteed you won't need no doctor. Amen. Takes care of the medicine? Yes. Guaranteed you won't need no dope, no drugs. Takes care of surgery? Yes. Guaranteed you won't have any surgery. How about retirement? How about forever? And look what little it takes to get it. It's like God is asking you for everything, and he's asking you for the absolute bare minimum, and you get the absolute maximum benefits. But you want to treat him and the service that we do for God as some afterthought that comes whenever it's convenient. However, when your need is there, and it will be, you want God to be on the spot all the time. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. You need to learn to be omnipresent. So when you are here, be all here. Now, once you get past that, being all here, then you will start. Well, see, once you start focusing your mind on these things, you start recognizing the omnipotence that God has granted. Now we look at the word omnipotent, which comes after omnipresent. Once you're all here and you're listening, and that's not only here, you're at work and you focus on what they tell you. And you see some other dummies thinking, no, I think it'd be easier that way. And they're thinking already to themselves some other way to do it. I'll tell you who's going to go to the top, the one that was omnipresent, the one that listened, the one that got the instructions. That's the one that's going to the top. Why? Because omnipresent leads you to omnipotent. Now, omnipotent, again, the same prefix, omnis, means all. Potens means able. So what does omnipotent mean? Able to do all. All able. There's nothing you're not able to do. Now, unlike your employers or bullocks, God knows what strength, what omnipotence he's given you, what ability he's given you. Now here's where you lose it, Christian. You think you know better what you ought to be doing with your time and your abilities. Now God said, I gave you the power and the ability to do thus, 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 and thus, and thus. So therefore, I'm going to give you this task, thus, thus, and thus, that match up with thus, thus, and thus abilities. Most employers are smart enough to do that. I mean, you don't put a computer programmer on a broom, or you shouldn't, or vice versa. Although there may be someone that belong behind a broom, I'm not going to... The vapors are starting, aren't they? So understand this, the point that I'm making. The minute you're confronted with something you can't do, here's where you've lost it. You were never given that to do. You're trying to do something you weren't given to do. And you know why you're doing that? Because you're trying to avoid doing what you were given to do. And you know what you've been given to do. You're a husband, you're a man, you're a father. You know what you're supposed to do in terms of your own body, your wife, and your children. You know. And you try to divert it by trying to apply yourself to other things in which you continually and perpetually fail because you're using that as a diversion not to do what you have been given to do. A lot of busy work and not accomplishing much. Amen. See, understand this. I am omnipotent, and that means I can do everything, comma, God gave me to do. Right. See, most churches will preach, I can do everything, period. Yeah. Your own life was a better testimony of that than anything I can say. Sure. You can do all things God gave you to do. So when you're failing, it's one of two things. You either are not doing what God gave you to do, and therefore what he has given you to do, even though you attempt it, you can't do it. See, God never gave you a body to crave certain types of foods, certain types. He gave you a body that craves oxygen for breathing. It needs water for fluid, and it needs herbs for food. That's how he set you up. And you're omnipotent. You work fine that way. The problem is when people try to substitute, and the reason you try to substitute is you're not omnipresent. You haven't got it together. So omnipotent means able to do all. All powerful. Unlimited power and authority. I'll show you what that means in a minute. From omnipotent, we go to omniscient. Now understand this. If God said in Genesis that he made me in his image and likeness, then I believe it. I'm in his image and likeness, whether you like it, whether you agree with it, or whether you even understand it or not. I'm in his image and likeness. Period. Everybody is. And if you've gone away from it, this will help you to come back. Well, now that you know how to have it together, focus, and learn, because then you learn what you have been given to do, which makes you omnipotent, then you become omniscient. Omniscient, again, comes from two words, omnis, which means all, and the last part comes from the word science. Actually, it's omniscience. It means knowing all things that are correct. Now, here's the distinction. There's a lot of know-it-alls in this world. In fact, we got a fair share in this room. Amen. But you see, I'm going to make a distinction between those that know all and those that know everything that's right. Now, science means what is correct, what is true, what is valid, scientific, what is right, in other words. Now, if an individual is omniscient, then they know what's right. Now, well, you say, well, I can't go to college. I don't have the time to spend the study like you do. Let me tell you how easy it is to know what's right. You have to learn what's wrong. Now, once you learn what's wrong, everything that is not in the category of being wrong is right. Now, do you remember what logic meant? The science of correct reasoning? But it also meant the ability to distinguish between right and wrong? Cause and effect? If the effect is wrong, the cause is wrong. If the effect is right, then the cause is right. If you have a wrong effect, then you're a wrong cause. You may even be a lost cause for all I know. But you see, that's what omniscient is. It's knowing the difference between right and wrong, knowing what's right. Now, here's the sad part of the situation. Most Christians, you included, know what's right. In your soul, in your mind, in your intellect, you know what's right. The problem is you don't have it all together. You're not omnipresent. You're not all present. Which means you know what's right, but your flesh wants what's wrong. Now, what has happened? You have focused or diffused yourself in that you've put your mind on what's right and your appetites, your lusts, your desires, your hungers, your needs on what's wrong. Now you are not omnipresent. You have just lost the power of God. You are never going to succeed. You're never going to change. You will be defeated from now on. All for the lack of focus. Just because you want to think about how those things tasted, think about how those things felt, and because of that, then you diffuse this God-given power that you have to be omnipresent, to focus on everything, and then be omnipotent, to be able to do that you're focused on, and God Almighty, to even understand the difference between right and wrong by focusing on one or the other. And you see how simply Satan, by putting a little short circuit in there, short circuits all the power of the living God, the power of the Son of God, which is available to you and I. And you remember at the last service I told you the Son, S-U-N, and the Son, S-O-N, are exact. The Son is a physical manifestation of the Son. And I proved it to you scientifically. I proved it to you by definitions. I ran the whole thing down to you. And remember, this physical manifestation of the spiritual Son puts out 70,000 horsepower of energy for every square yard, continuously and constantly. Every square yard, 70,000 horsepower. Now, bear in mind, I say, well, how big is the Sun? Because it must be a lot of yards. Well, you have some concept of how big the Earth is because you live on it. I think you know. The mass of the Sun is 333,000 times more than that of the Earth. And all it would take would be one square yard of that, radiating 70,000 horsepower of energy, 24 hours a day, day in, day out, from eternity past to eternity future, you'll have some idea of the mass of power of the Son of the Living God. Both of them, the physical as well as the spiritual, particularly the spiritual. Now, that same Son, S-O-N, said, all power has been given to me in heaven and in earth. And then he looked at you and I and says, now I give you power. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And then you have the filthy nerve, the audacity, the mendacity, the sagacious, mendacious, bodacious attitude that you come and say, I can't do that. When you have that access to that much power, and your only problem is you're a little short, that's all. You've short-circuited the thing. It irritates me for you to say, I can't as a child of God. Amen. With all that power that we have at our access, there's nothing you can't do. And I will prove that to you. Matthew 28:18. I'm wound up and time is slipping away, so stay with me. It appears we're not going to have time for the vapors. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Okay. You're going to get something now. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you what. I'm going to do this one Sunday. You need to know the next part. Jesus has received all power. I will explain to you Sunday morning this power that he's been given and this power that's been given to you and to me. But go to Philippians 4:13. Scripture that's done and done all the time and so misunderstood. Now, this is the same Jesus now that has received all power, has given you all power, or has given you power over Satan and all the powers of darkness. Now in the book of Philippians, we are told, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, this takes away all the ability to beg. Nowhere there does he say, Jesus Christ is going to do anything for you. He says, you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. Now notice, that does not say, I can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengtheneth me. If it said Jesus Christ, then only those people that lived and walked with him physically would be able to do all things. Could it be that this word Christ can be applicable to you and I? Blasphemy. And you call yourself a Christian? Well, what does Christian mean? A little Christ. In some cases, precious little, but nonetheless, a little Christ. So you see, I never refer to myself as Christ. He refers to me as Christ when he refers to me as Christian. At Antioch, they were first referred to as Christians. It's not my job. I didn't dream it up. The Holy Spirit of God gave that to Paul. At Antioch, saints were referred to as little Christs, Christians. Now understand, now it's a little bit different because you see, we've taken this Christ that's in heaven, that you use that as an excuse to do nothing, and now we've got him right in your lap. Now understand this. Take a look at the parking lot. Look at all the benefits that came through a Christian. I look at my life, the benefits that come through Christians, brothers in the church, Brad or Rick now particularly, Don in a lot of cases. Physical benefits that come through me. I can do those. You see, if someone would have said to me, I'll give you some money, I'll help you, I'll just go out and put some tile in or lay a carpet somewhere. I couldn't find the place, much less do it. But through a Christian, I'm doing it. And this isn't the first time. And if you think about it, you all have experienced the same thing. And it begins with your pastor. I can do all things through Christ, through an anointing. See, this word Christ means one who is anointed. So he says, I can do all things through one which God has anointed. Now, God didn't just anoint Jesus Christ. He anointed us too. I'm anointed, you're anointed. And I'll tell you what that means in a minute. But notice what this says. I can do all things through Christ, which means I don't have to go out and beg for anything. I don't have to depend on someone to do something for me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, I thank God that does not say who strengtheneth me. Because you say, if that said I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, then I would be limited by the strength of whoever the anointed one was. Or actually the anointed Christ, see, if that said I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, then that would mean that as I could only use as much of Christ's power as I could physically manifest. And there's limitations to what I can do. There's limitations to all of us. But thank God he didn't say who, he said which. I can do all things through Christ. So it's the through Christ which gives me all the strength. Now, what happens when something goes through something? It's a conductor. And what is a conductor? It's that conducting body, that ground that closes the circuit so the electric current can flow from the storage to the recipient. So this word through means Jesus Christ is the conductor, the conducting body who is connected, grounded, and whose potential is taken as zero to which the current can be connected and it flows. Remember what conducting body meant? Now Jesus took his potential as zero in the Garden of Eden. He put himself last and did what was good for you and I. That's a conductor. That's a conducting body. And that's why the power of the living God flowed through Jesus Christ, and not hell, not the demons, not all of them put together, all the powers of hell could not keep him there one more second than it took to pay for your sin and mine. Because he was connected. He was connected to the living God in the flesh, but connected. And in that garden, he said, if there's any other way that this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So what did he take? He took his own potential as zero. He was thinking of me. He was thinking, he knew I couldn't do it. He knew he could. But he said, if there's any other way. But you see, it was never an issue of let's not do it. Yeah. That was never an issue with the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, when you look at things as to how it benefits you, you're going to lose it. Right. Your potential is taken as zero. You become a conducting body and the electric current flows through you. So I tell my employer right now, do what's good for you, my brother. Take care of yourself first. God will take care of me. It will work out. I will get what I need. Doesn't matter how it comes, whether through you, some combination, I will get it. I take my potential as zero. The power has to come through. I don't know if the little ball's going to land in the little cage somewhere and somebody's going to call me and say, you want 10 and 50 zillion, quadrillion dollars. Or I don't care. If I find a nickel in the street and that's all I needed, then that's all my need. It's taken care of. But I'm hooked up. I'm connected. The minute you start thinking about yourself first, you've shorted it out. You are no longer a conducting body. Your potential is no longer taken as zero. You become everything. It's got to flow through you. And for the power to go, it has to flow through. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In other words, Jesus Christ put me first. He put me ahead of himself. And that's when the task was somebody had to die. And now he asks me, can you put yourself behind just in shutting your mouth and not letting pride take over and let the brother shame himself and see the love and let him make a fool out of himself? Do you suppose you could just keep your mouth shut for a while and not fight back? Such an easy task. I can put myself potential to zero there. And you see, that's why the power flows. And nothing or nobody will ever stop you in any fashion, way, manner, or form as long as God has given you the task. So you see, you do things through Christ. But notice it says, I do all things. You're waiting for me to do it for you. You're waiting for God to do it for you. You're waiting for your wife to do it for you. You're waiting for somebody to do it for you. No, the scripture says you do it through Christ. Which means ain't no sense sitting back and waiting for someone to do it for you, because that someone is not going to be Jesus Christ. You better hope your mommy inherits some money, because that's the only one that loves you. You got a face only a mother could love. And if your mommy ain't got it, you're in bad shape. And if she got it and don't want to give it to you, you're still in bad shape. Understand this, God said, you don't need no mommies no more. You don't need none of this. You do it through Christ, which strengtheneth you. It will take all the beggars off the streets. It will take all the crybabies out of every corporation that I've ever worked in or I've ever been. The place is full of crybabies, full of weenies, Oscar Myers. They're all over the place. Nobody wants to do their work. Everybody wants someone else to do it for them. I can't do this. I can't do that. Oscar Mayer. I was an Oscar Mayer wiener. You ever heard that commercial, little cute little guy? No. It doesn't work that way. You do it, or it ain't going to get done. And let me tell you something. I'm going to curse your efforts right now. The Word of God says you do it, Christian, through Christ. It's time to get off your fat behind and waiting for everybody else to do it for you. It ain't going to work. Boy, for someone who's such a stickler on English, he sure throws that word ain't around. It's the only way I can get your attention. I got to speak your lingo, gringo, once in a while. I have to get down to your level there, even though my potential is zero. Boy, I'm just not going to get through this. Sunday I will finish it. Sunday I will finish it. Just let me leave you with this. The word through Christ. Through Christ. This word through comes from a Greek word that means to be in a fixed position, unmovable in time, place, or state. Unmovable in time, now. Unmovable in place, I'm the pastor, I'm a husband, I'm a father. That's my place. Fixed. Nobody moves me. Fixed in time, now. Fixed in place right now. I know who I am, and fixed in state. I've learned whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. I don't get mad. I don't get angry. I don't get depressed. I don't get excited. I don't get exciting. I don't get excited. I'm fixed in place, time, and state. That's through Christ. Let me tell you what your problem is. You wander here, past, future. You're not fixed in time. You're not fixed in place. The minute something doesn't work, you want to quit your job. You want to get a divorce. You want to do this. You want to change this. You change everything but your underwear. You got it backwards. And then you're not fixed in state. You're up and down depending on the sun is shining and whatever the situation is. And you look at your wallet, and your wallet is your God. And if it's got something in it, your state is good. And if it doesn't, your state is bad. None of that is through Christ. When you're in a fixed position, you're fixed in time, you're current. What's happening now? I got enough to eat, I'm strong, I'm healthy. Right now, I have no needs that are unmet. Not one. I'm in time. This is the time. And this is the place. Man, this is my place, and that's your place. And I got a state, and it's called contentment. You're never going to get anything through Christ until you fix your position. You're fixed in time, you're fixed in place, and you're fixed in state. Nothing moves you. Because understand this, everything that's wrong in this world is in the past and in the future. That's why Jesus said, take no thought for the morrow. You're not going to do anything about changing anything by worrying. Literally translated, that's what that means. If we had another 2 or 3 hours, I would talk to you about Christ and strengthening and all of those other good things. And something I really wanted to get to. And you will learn about it Sunday. Jesus Christ is my permit. Jesus Christ is my permit. My permit to do anything and everything that's in front of me. You can't do anything without a permit. You need a permit for everything. You can't function in this world without a permit. And a permit is always a piece of paper in which you are told specifically what you can do. And when someone comes and challenges you, says, what are you doing? And you whip it out and say, this is my permit. Well, lo and behold, Jesus Christ said, I can do this. And depression comes and poverty comes and sickness comes. What are you doing? I'm doing what Jesus Christ gave me permit to do. And here's my permit. Read it and weep, sucker. Now, we all have the Bible. Let me tell you why it isn't a permit to most of you. Sunday. I know. No, I'm going to tell you Sunday. And, you know, I may even start on the vapor Sunday. Oh, thank you, Lord. We're going to have open-air church on Sunday. Yes, what a perfect time to do the vapors. Oh, yes, thank you, my God and my Lord. Yes, that would have never done it anyway. The dreaded vapors are Sunday when we finish this. Brother Rick, would you close the service in prayer?